We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary, see your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
What up, what up, what up? We are back with another edition of the DNVR Rams podcast. As always, I'm Justin Michael. Hope everybody is staying strong out there. It's been insane. Like I talked about last night, never really experienced anything like this. This wind has just been unreal, but I was able to catch up with Kevin Lytle this morning. Really appreciate him agreeing to come on the show last minute. I dove into the article that he wrote last night and gave some of my thoughts just kind of on what stood out, but I wanted to pick his brain even further so we could get an even better idea of how this first scrimmage played out for CSU. Again, if you missed that pod, just a couple of key things here. It was not a traditional one versus one scrimmage, like a true game simulation. You know, it's more situational, but yeah, the number one offense did run against the number two defense. The number one defense ran against the number two offense, with a couple of key exceptions. Torrey Horton not participating. Guys like Henry Blackburn did not participate, which means you had some certain guys in roles that they would not technically be in otherwise. And that's why you have to kind of take all spring ball results with a grain of salt. I mean, it's not that there's no value to it. It's just that it's kind of different. It's a different time of year, and it doesn't always accurately represent what your team is going to look like come August. I'm not going to waste a ton of time here. I'm just going to get right into that interview with Kevin. Again, huge shout out to him for coming on. Real quick, we do got to pay the bills, and your Front Range Toyota stores are excited to begin our new partnership with DNVR. Toyota is the official vehicle of DNVR. Trucks have always been a part of Toyota's DNA for generations. Toyota has built durable legends destined for greatness and perfect for Colorado. Whether you're conquering off-road trails or hauling the weight of the world, there's a Toyota truck that's just right for you. Maybe it's the 2024 Tacoma, the return of the iconic 2024 Land Cruisers, also coming, something to keep an eye on this spring. They offer 17 models with all-wheel drive or four-wheel drive capability. They also offer more low and zero emission vehicles combined than any other automaker. They have 16 different hybrid vehicles to choose from, like the Tundra iForce Max hybrid truck. Not to be outdone, the Toyota SUVs take command of the road and on the trail, so you can explore the road less traveled without sacrificing smooth city rides in SUVs like the RAV4 and Grand Highlander. Toyota is the proud partner of CSU Athletics and the official vehicle of DNVR. Now also feels like a great time to talk to you guys about the Circle K Inner Circle. It's a membership that's easy to sign up for. It's free. All you got to do is put your email and phone number, and boom, after that, you just sign in with your phone number. When you sign up for the Inner Circle, you are going to save 25 cents per gallon on your first five fill-ups. You're going to get five Polar Pops for free. And after that, you're going to get types of rewards on every sixth item for dispensed beverages, donuts, and more. Get a free any size Polar Pop from Colorado Circle K's if you text DNVR to 31310. That's DNVR to the number 31310. Message and data rates may apply. Periodic recurring messages per month. Terms and conditions can be viewed at CircleK.com. Sign up with the QR code or visit CircleK.com/innercircle for more information. All right, we've got Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins Coloradoan here. Kevin was able to brave the wind yesterday, and thank God, because he has scrimmage takeaways. I've tried to make it pretty clear that, like, spring ball, it's a situation you have to take it with a grain of salt, but it is an interesting situation where you get to see some of the up-and-comers and whatnot. You obviously had a bunch of takeaways. I highly recommend that everybody go check that out on the Coloradoan website. What was your biggest takeaway overall from this first scrimmage?
I think more than, like, player, you know, specific to players, is more philosophy. Both we, you know, we saw it during the scrimmage. I was wondering, okay, you know, these are more, you know, I don't want to say run heavy. It's not like it's just ground and pound, but it's certainly a commitment to the run game and more, you know, lengthy sustained drives rather than, you know, last year was very boom or bust, is either a big play or a three and out, basically. And I was, you know, partially figuring that that is part of the plan, but also wondering how much wind, you know, was maybe playing a part in some of the game planning, if you will. But after, you know, both BFN and Jay Norvell talked a lot about that, of like, we have to control games a little bit more, be able to sustain drives. Braden Fowler Nicolosi talked about the even keel of, you know, Kawhi saying there about the boomer bust, you know, it can't be a big play and then two negative plays, big play, negative plays, which, you know, obviously you're still going to have some of that, but, you know, considering the stable running backs they have, the defensive struggles last year, which obviously in part came because of the lack of control from the offense, I think that's the biggest thing. And, you know, Norvell talked about that, controlling the game, and then also a lot of work on in-game situations, which in a lot of ways go hand in hand, because, you know, we all know CSU lost three games at the very end.
Yeah, that was one of the things that I wrote down from your article that just kind of stood out to me. It was just unsurprising given the way that that season played out, including obviously the season finale where you lose dramatically in a 2-minute drill situation. Kind of going off of what you're saying there, I think it makes a lot of sense that they would want to emphasize running the ball. Obviously, one, they had a ton of turnovers last year, but two, running back might actually be the deepest position on this team right now.
Yeah, it's funny. A year ago, you know, there were no running backs. You know, Avery Morrow was out. Kobe Johnson wasn't here yet. Keegan Hollis got hurt in camp. The freshmen weren't here yet because they were summer enrollees. So it was basically Van Shield running like 900 times a practice. And now it's kind of the opposite. You have, I don't want to say too many, because I don't, you know, there's never a bad problem of having talented players. But you have a lot of guys that have a pretty good claim for carries. So yeah, I think that it makes sense to be part of, you know, the, you know, focus of the offense. And let's be honest, it's going to open up the passing attack and hopefully, in theory, limit some of Braden Fowler and Nicolosi's mistakes from last year if they know that there's more than one option. You know, it doesn't just have to be a big play Torrey Horton, basically, that there are other ways to move the ball.
It just takes a little bit of that pressure off of them. And I feel like we saw kind of at the end of the season when they did get some of that run game going, it settled them into a groove a little bit better. You establish a lot more ball control, a little bit more consistency. Would Justin Marshall still be the front runner, in your opinion, to be that running back one, especially after he closed the season so strong?
Yeah, it seems like he got the first carries with the first team. Obviously, there's a lot of rotation in through both that group and other groups. But yeah, it seemed like Justin Marshall's first. And with what he did last year, I don't really know how you could go elsewhere until, you know, someone really, you know, proves that. But there was a lot of him, a lot of Damian Henderson, a lot of Avery Morrow, a lot of Kobe Johnson, pretty good amount of Van Shields still. I mean, even Keegan Hollis, it wasn't with the ones, but Keegan Hollis is back and got some decent carries with the backups. So there's just a lot of guys in there, but Marshall has to be the lead guy right now. And you have other options. You know, the good thing is, I think you have some complementary styles there, you know, Morrow and probably Henderson, even Van a little bit more, your short yardage backs that, yeah, they may not break a huge one, but you know, they'll probably get you 3 yards when you need two, that type of thing. You know, Kobe's got to be pretty versatile, do a lot of things. He's still on kick returns, obviously, of that one early last year. So is a group that, yeah, there's a lot of them, but it seems like they can complement each other.
And then obviously, if you're going to run the football, you've got to be able to hold up in the trenches. The offensive line last year, much better. You bring back three of those starters, which is encouraging. At this point, do you have any gauge of who you think could step into those guard spots, or do we kind of need to see how these next couple of weeks go still?
Yeah, I think, you know, last year it was pretty well set by pretty much this time, because you kind of had the main five and then the next group, you know, were more serviceable backups than the year before, but pretty clearly a second, you know, whereas right now I still think there's some tinkering and mixing. What I think is encouraging is you have two young guys in Tanner Morley and Aaron Karras that were signed by this staff, have been, you know, started to be developed by this staff, that seem to be pushing for, you know, potential time either as starters or, you know, kind of your top backup. So the depth is in theory looking a little better, and it's good that you're developing some of those young guys, because it's hard to always be doing it via transfers. You need a mix and match. And I think an O-line in this day and age is always going to have some transfers, just because it's an old person position. It's hard to play as a freshman. But you need to have a mix of those guys that you've developed. So it seems like a couple of them are coming through right now, too. So I think there's still a little bit of battle there, which is a good thing. And it's big. I mean, gosh, you see Tanner Morley out there. The kid is huge. So the size, you know, in these 2-3 years has definitely significantly increased up there.
I think you said a couple of things that are important, starting with the size. And I mean, that was like one of the first things that Norvell said when he came in, is we got to get bigger in the trenches. We got to get faster at receiver and corner and all that. But you also mentioned Harris and Morley, and just how these are players that have been brought in and signed by the staff. And what they were able to do this past offseason was really impressive, hitting on all those different transfers and basically getting an entire new starting offensive line outside of Gardner, but I mean, even he moved back to center. So basically an entire new starting five, but you can't do that every year. It's such a challenge. And I think in year three, both at, like in the trenches, and I think at receiver, which is another area I want to talk to you about, they need some of these guys that they've signed these last couple of years to start hitting.
100%. Totally agree with that. I asked Norvell a bit about that yesterday of, like, obviously, yeah, by need, they had to rebuild that O-line via just transfer. But how important is it to, yeah, kind of elevate through guys that you're bringing in, developing? And yeah, he talked a lot yesterday about continuity and the need for that, not just O-line, just across the roster. And, you know, he was speaking a lot in terms of, you know, in this transfer age, you know, rosters are turning over pretty significantly. But he, you know, this, it's a fairly stable roster right now. Honestly, you haven't had that, you know, you have a lot of starters back. You have, you know, a lot of guys, like a Morley or Karras who weren't stars, but have been in the program. You know, guys like Boom Jock on defense that were kind of, you know, played a decent bit, but now are stepping into big roles. He, you know, Norvell is hopeful that that's going to pay big dividends, that it's pretty stable right now in that roster. That you do have a lot of guys just kind of doing the normal, you know, sort of old school, if you will, progression through the depth chart.
It's just been so long since this team has been in that spot. I mean, even just with the coaching changes and the system changes, it's just been so much instability, so much roster fluctuation over the last couple of years, especially given that you play so many first-year coaches this year, a lot of programs that are going to be kind of TBD, and in theory, at least, I think that would be a strength going into the season. But obviously, we'll see. You wrote about a couple of deep plays to Goody and Goffney and Ollie. I wanted to kind of go there. I'm really interested to see. You've got five, I think, receivers that are either redshirt freshmen, or I think Goody might be a sophomore because I think he played in 6 games last year. But would he be kind of the front runner out of those five young guys in terms of the guy you could maybe expect to kind of take a leap this year?
Yeah, it seems like right now Goody is the young guy that's, you know, winning camp, so to speak. And you know, there's always a spring hero, so to speak, that has a big spring, and sometimes it parlays into the fall, other times not. But he's a guy that, yeah, like you say, he got bits of action last year, you know, nothing huge, has had a really good spring. Coaches keep talking him up. Yeah, it was kind of one of those jump ball type plays downfield yesterday. Went up and made a nice play. BFN was talking about how he's, you know, coming along, just feels more sure in the offense, stuff like that. So yeah, I think he's had a good spring. He's taken advantage. You know, Justice Ross Simmons is out all spring as he basically heals up a shoulder. Torrey Horton wasn't in the scrimmage yesterday. He's not been in the last couple of practices, which I don't think is any big deal as far as I understand. It's, you know, he's a vet. You don't need to worry about Torrey. So that presents a lot of opportunities for these young guys or a new guy like Ollie to step in. And you're seeing that Goffney's having a good spring. You know, obviously he's an older guy, but is fighting for a role. And yeah, Goody of those young guys, I think is the one that's probably most consistently getting attention.
I'm really interested to see what Goffney and Ollie ultimately end up doing, because Ollie, obviously, kind of a weird situation at Cincy last year, just really kind of falls off the map after being pretty productive at Washington State the year before. He's got good size. I could see him in a variety of roles, maybe even kind of making up for some of that production you lose up the seam with Holker. And then a guy like Goffney, I mean, he was so big in that Boise State game, but only 3 catches over the final 3 weeks. You know, what kind of role does he end up doing? I think those two, especially with the loss of Lewis Brown and, you know, Justice Ross coming off a shoulder surgery, you need those guys to produce this year. Maybe not be all conference players, but probably more than they got last year.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, Ollie had a nice touchdown yesterday. Is really just kind of a quick screen that he broke an early tackle, and then it was really well blocked. That was when Tanner Morley was like 20 yards downfield blocking dudes. So that was exciting in multiple ways if you're a CSU fan. And yeah, Goffney's just been pretty steady. His touchdown was like his red zone, a fourth down, like a 4th and 5 type. He just got open on the outside and found a little corner there. So those are the type of things you need from those guys. Like you said, you don't need them to be 1,300-yard receivers, but have some consistency. And yeah, even if it's just those little situations, a 3rd and 5, help move the chains. Because yeah, you're, you know, the tight end Dallin Holker question, where a lot of those plays came from, is still a question mark. So you, you know, just building that consistency and depth will just help that offense.
On your mark, get set, eat. Make a pit stop at Raisin Cane's for craveable hand-battered chicken fingers. They're always cooked to order and made just for you. Race in for delicious chicken finger meals served up fast. Order up chicken tender fingers, crispy crinkle-cut fries, and buttery Texas toast. Make sure you don't forget about that creamy coleslaw and, of course, the secret Cane's sauce. Find your local Raisin Cane's location or order online or mobile. For cook-to-order, hand-battered chicken fingers, race into Raisin Cane's. Turbocharge your chicken fingers and get them even faster by ordering online at RaisinCane's.com or through their mobile app, Raisin Cane's Chicken Fingers, one love. Finally, you guys know we love our Breck Brews at DNVR. Breckenridge Brewery is the official craft beer of DNVR. Breck Brew has a beer for any occasion. There's no better way to watch a game than having an ice-cold Breck Brew in hand. Try out some of my favorites, including the Avalanche Amber Ale, Fun Slinger, you can't go wrong with their Good Company Hard Seltzers, which have new flavors this summer, by the way. Really, really good. Make sure you hit up the Breck Farmhouse. It's an awesome spot to have a beer in the sunshine. The food is great. I cannot recommend the wings high enough. I had a turkey sandwich there recently that was to die for. Check out the Breck Beer Locator at breckbrew.com to find a brew near you. We don't have to spend a ton of time on the twos, but was it Brousseau running the twos with the offense, and then how did he look?
Yeah, so it was all BFN ones, Brousseau twos. And yeah, he did some nice things, some good throws. It was mostly one offense versus two defense, two offense versus one defense. The defense got after a little bit against those twos and further. But you saw some good things. Again, I think Brousseau's best weapon is his downfield throwing. A little tricky when it's 50-mile-an-hour winds, so there were a couple of those that were just off, but you can see his potential touch there. I mean, he's got a nice arm. Nothing big, you know, good or bad from him, especially as you know, with JRS and Horton out, you're working pretty far down that receiver depth chart too. But you saw guys like Person make some plays, like freshman Landon Bell was in there a little bit. He's one of a few early enrollees. So kind of an interesting group of guys that you see in there in the, you know, depth rotation.
It's way too early probably to have a super realistic idea of this, but are you worried at all about the cornerback depth? I mean, it's good that the starters, I guess, are starting in theory because that means you trust them. But I mean, you almost have to like start them and see what they do at this point. Otherwise, you wouldn't have even brought them in. I don't know. I guess just what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it's hard to tell right now. You know, Dom Jones wasn't in the scrimmage yesterday, and he's obviously a guy that will be in that mix. So yeah, it was Larry and Asisima, kind of the main two. Dominic Morris is in there kind of as a nickel. Obviously, he did some good things. A guy like Dylan Phelps is having a pretty good spring. He's a big kid in the secondary. But yeah, I think that's definitely a TBD for me of, again, need to see more and see how it does. And, you know, frankly, like a lot of these questions, we're going to have ideas, but we're not really going to know until we see them in you know, live action in the fall. But yeah, I think corner is absolutely one of the positions to, you know, just watch with curiosity to see how it does perform, because that's a big overhaul they're doing there.
I don't want to take up too much of your time. You've already stepped up and helped us in a major way coming in, filling in on the show today. So thank you, by the way. Real quick, just obviously there's been a lot of hoops coaching carousel focus these last couple of weeks. It's been probably a little bit more long drawn out than I expected coming out of the tournament, just with how some of these other schools have made it last a little bit longer. But can Ram fans breathe easy in your opinion at this point, at least as far as Nico Medved coming back goes?
Yeah, it's been interesting, the high majors poaching other high majors. But yeah, I mean, it seems now like Nico Medved will be back. I mean, I know there's still a little bit going on there with, you know, with Musk just going to USC and, you know, the trickle down of that. But it seems like Nico Medved will be back. You know, West Virginia and Oklahoma State were, I think, the big two that ended up being the main threats. And you know, he's still at CSU. And at this point, yeah, I fully expect that. And it's also looking the same for Ali Farokmanesh too. So if CSU does end up with both of them back, that's a pretty nice start to the offseason.
It's an interesting offseason too, because you got a nice little chunk of NIL change. You're going to need to bring in a couple of key transfers, but I don't know. It feels like a good selling point for the program. I mean, you're going to have to reload and you're going to have to hit on probably at least three key pieces to be like really competitive, but I don't know. It's an interesting spot.
Yeah, it really is. And it, you know, that's doable now. And yeah, like you say, they have plenty that they can pitch. And like, obviously there's tough competition for all these guys, but you know, you're looking at, you know, a guy like Baskin, you know, coming from D2. Again, obviously he has tons of interest. Not saying he's going to end up at CSU, but you have a pretty good pitch of the success they've had, the role he could play, things like that. Obviously, any guards you're talking to, about 37 minutes of play just opened up. So someone's got to run that ship so you can pitch that. And yeah, you know, NIL, it can always be better. Every coach will always tell you they need more. But from what we understand, I think in the Mountain West sphere, CSU's in an okay place, a place they can be competitive, if not dominant.
Before we go, I got to ask you, because we did a draft of this the other day, me and one of my colleagues, the best days on the sporting calendar. Right now, it's kind of you got the Masters coming up. Obviously, the Final Four was yesterday. I'm a big opening day guy, even though the Rockies just perennially disappoint me. What are your top couple of days, though, on the sports calendar? Like, if you're going a top three, what are your best three of the year?
Yeah. I'm kind of cheating to make it 2 days, but I love the Saturday, Sunday of the first weekend of the NCAA tournament, those second round games. So you tend to get some really good matchups and really fun stuff there. So I like that. The first like real Saturday of college football season, like usually is that 0 week where, yeah, there might be a good game or two and that's fun. But that first one where it's like, okay, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. we got some pretty darn good games going on. That's a pretty fun one. And then I'm trying to think if there's any other specific that jumps out. Like, yeah, opening day kind of used to be, but the Rockies have made me sad. So
it was a weird vibe downtown. It was still fun. Like people were having a good time, but you could tell that the energy was lacking compared to previous years.
Probably more a let's go to a brewery vibe than a, oh my gosh, baseball's back is vibe.
I mean, we're all wearing black and purple, but I don't think anybody could name more than two or three Rockies. So it's just a weird spot.
That sounds about right. Yeah. So yeah, those are a couple of my top ones.
Good choices. I don't think you can go wrong. Kevin, you're the man. I appreciate you hopping on and talking football and hoops with me. I hope your fence is still standing. I hope you're able to have a mellow day.
Same to everyone.
You're the man. Everybody go follow Kevin on Twitter. Subscribe to him. Support local journalism. Best in the state. That's the Coloradoan. Thank you, man.
Peaches out of Palisades, sweet as mama's marmalade. This shit sound like summer days, the windows down on harmony. The family band sing harmonies, my daddy played the drums. My mama slapped that bass, my sister sang these songs. Dancing under canopies, we thank the trees for all their leaves. We are just some drops of water, together make up seven seas. And one day I'll be like my father, one day I will learn to breathe. I'm choking on the thought that I am not the man I wanna be. I got blood on my shirt, like I wear my heart on my sleeve. She said I look good in red, but that went straight to my head. So now she's rocking my tees, tucked into new Prada jeans. And we ain't spoken a month, but I just saw her last week. The lipstick stain still on my cheek, like we ain't talk enough. And we always seem to laugh, but never nod at us. So the future's looking grim, it's kinda ominous. And this song ain't about love, that'd be too obvious. See, this is more about lust and all of my misconceptions. And this is more about me and all of my self-deception. I'll tell myself a lie 100 times, don't need corrections. But every night I pray to God, I hope I learn my lesson. And the peaches out from Palisade, and they sweet as mama's marmalade. And this should sound like summer days, the windows down on harmony. The family band sing harmonies, my daddy played the drums. And my mama slapped that bass, and my sister sang these songs. Dancing hand in hand, we were tripping to left feet. Like a middle school slow dance, no one knew how to lead. But I'm still thankful for these days.